You are listening to Radio Sai Global Harmony. Radio Sai brings to you every day the teachings and the universal message of love of Bhagawan Sri Satya Sai Baba.
Dear listeners of Radio Sai, greetings, loving Sai Ram, a very good morning and a warm welcome to today's Thursday Live. I am Raghu from Team Radio Sai and I am signing in along with my friend audio engineer Yatartha. This is the segment Service Love in Action, in which we bring you accounts of Swami's love and our love for Swami translating into service to humanity. Well, dear listeners, at the outset, let us all collectively offer our most humble pranams at the lotus feet of our beloved Bhagwan, Bhagwan Sri Satya Sai Baba. Dear listeners, today is 20th of December, a holy Thursday, and it's a cool and pleasant morning here at Prashanthi Nilayam Ashram. It's being mid-December, the winter is at its peak, and especially mornings here at the ashram are very cold, and throughout the day the highs of temperature is barely mid-20s. Well, dear listeners, in today's segment of Service Love in Action, I'll be talking about the various service activities that the alumni of Bhagwan's University are undertaking in and around Puttaparthi. And to talk more on this, dear listeners, first I'll have a conversation with two alumni, Prem and Bhargav, who after finishing their post-graduation in Swami's University were involved in many of these service activities. And after that conversation, I'll have a short conversation with my colleague, Mr. Jagannath Rao, who will be talking about one particular service activity initiated by Swami's devotees and his students here at Parthi, that is a tree plantation in the hills around Prashanthi Nilayam. So, dear listeners, stay tuned. Many wonderful programs are in store for you today. So, let's start this segment, Service Love in Action, with a beautiful song, specially composed by Swami students on the occasion of sports meet in the year 2008.
మెదిలే సంగీతమై வரும் அருக்கு பல்
ஆகோ மே நிகழ்த்தி ஹர் ஆஷா மே தூ ஹே இஸ் தில் கே ஹர் கோமல் எஹ்சாஸ் ஹே தூ ஹே
மாயா தேரா பியார் ஹே இஸ் துன் கா யஹி சார் ஹே வோ பியாரே
மன சுதோ மௌன மே பலிகே கீதமை பிரேம மனசுதோ மௌனமே மெதிலே சங்கீதமை
This is Radio Sai Global Harmony, God's own radio station.
You're listening to Radio Sai Global Harmony, bringing you the message of Bhagwan Sri Satya Sai Baba. Medical Marvels of Love is our weekly radio series in which we bring you patient profiles from India's top-of-the-line super speciality hospitals, often referred to as modern temples of healing. The Sri Satya Sai Institute of Higher Medical Sciences, located at Whitefield, Bangalore, and at Prashanti Gram in Puttaparthi.
It was such a great feeling when Sai looked at me with inquisitive eyes. It was the first time he had seen his own mother. It was like my son had been born again.
We could not believe our ears when we learned that in Baba's hospital, even complex surgeries are done absolutely free of cost.
I have no words to express my gratitude for what they've done.
Yes, I had always believed in God, but you all know that was the God whom I had never seen. After coming here, I now believe in a God whom I have not only seen, but also experienced.
You can listen to Medical Marvels on Asia Stream of Radio Sai every Sunday at 8 p.m. To know more about the timings of this weekly series, Medical Marvels of Love, on other streams of Radio Sai, please go to the schedule page of our website, radiosai.org. You can download and listen to this at your leisure by visiting the link radiosai.org/medical, that is MEDICAL. Thank you and happy listening. Sai Ram.
Om Shri Sai Ram. Dear listeners, this is Radio Sai Global Harmony's Asia Stream, bring you the message of Bhagwan Sri Satya Sai Baba. Welcome to Thursday Live. This is the segment Service, Love in Action, wherein we bring you Swami's love and our love for Swami, translating into service to humanity.
Sai Ram, dear listeners, and welcome to Thursday Live. This is the segment Service, Love in Action. And in this segment, I speak about the various service projects initiated by Bhagwan, and inspired by these service projects, the various service activities taken by his students and his devotees. And today, dear listeners, I am extremely pleased to have two alumni from Bhagwan's university, Prem and Bhargav. Well, dear listeners, you will be knowing who Prem is. In fact, he and Arvind host the next segment of Thursday Life at 12:30, the afternoon satsang. And Bhargav is another alumnus of Bhagwan's university who completed his post-graduation in the year 2001. In fact, Prem also completed his post-graduation from Bhagwan's university. And both of them, after having completed their post-graduation, are actively involved in the service activities which Swami students have been undertaking in and around Puttaparthi. So today they will be sharing with us some of those service activities. So Sai Ram, Bhargav and Prem, and welcome to the studios of Radio Sai.
Thank you, Sai Ram Raghu.
Okay, so just a few days back I happened to read an article on the service activities taken up by alumni of Bhagwan's university in and around Puttaparthi. Well, a lot of service activities are going on, like the tree plantation on the hills around Puttaparthi, then the coconut tree plantation again in the villages around Puttaparthi, and then the blanket distribution for the poor and needy and Narayan Seva, etc. In fact, in last Thursday in my segment, in this same segment, I spoke about the service activities done by the Sai youth from Vishakhapatnam in Andhra Pradesh. They have provided safe drinking water to about 50 remote villages in Anantagiri Hills. And they also started with the Narayan Seva and blanket distribution. Well, now, this blanket distribution is something very unique. In fact, during winter, many of us who can afford warm clothing and blankets and who have proper house and shelter can avoid this chill and cold winter. But it is very sad to know that there are still many people who don't have proper shelter and they sleep in the railway platforms and bus stations and they don't have warm clothing, blankets in the night and are suffering from cold and are sleeping, shivering with cold. Well, so today I want to know about this blanket distribution, which is one of the service activities which Swami's old students are undertaking. So, Brother Bhargav, we'll start with you. Please tell our listeners about this blanket distribution, from when you have been doing this activity.
Yeah, thank you, Raghu. As far as I know, I think this has been happening for the last a decade or so.
Okay.
And how they started is around November, December, the months of November, December, where generally it becomes little more chilly.
Yeah.
What they do is
winter season.
Yeah, winter season sets in.
Yes.
So, there are two ways in which we do this service activity. One is we go in the mornings to the villages.
Mm.
We generally choose a village which is little in the forest areas or which is generally on the hills where the cold is more.
Yeah.
And second is we try to identify, go to a town, nearby towns like Dharmavaram, Penukonda, Kadri, which are around Puttaparthi or in Puttaparthi also. The main criteria here is what we try to do. We go in the night. So when people are already settled down and they are already gone into sleep, at around 10 o'clock or so, we start. What we do is we go to our shopping complex. We order for the blankets. We take the whole bunch of blankets with us. We hire a van. And there are two more interesting things which our alumni do. One is they take photos of Swami. And one more boy, he is a very senior student called Raghunandan. He'll specially take a glass of, vibhuti. What a glass of vibhuti means, what I mean is, he takes a packet of vibhuti and mixes it in water and makes a thick paste out of it. When I first saw it, I was very surprised. Like, I asked him, brother, what are you doing this for? So, you just wait, you'll see what it is. So, it was a very magical thing for me, first time when I saw. Generally, what we do, we go to a bus station or a railway station and then go around and see who are the deserving people. Deserving means sometimes there will be many passengers who will be like about to, they'll be waiting for a train to come and catch the train and go.
Yes.
Not those people. There are many people who have made this railway platform or the bus station as a permanent dwelling.
Yeah.
They don't go and stay anywhere. They work somewhere outside or they might be very poor, they might not have any work. So they permanently sleep there only.
That's why preferably you go in the nights, right?
Yeah, nights so that we can identify who are the real homeless people.
Genuine people.
Yeah. So we go to the platform and do a survey, find out who are the people. And then we identify the people. Then we come and take the bunch of blankets and gently wake them up. And there are many of our alumni who are very sweet in talking. Very sweetly they tell that Swami has sent blankets for you from Puttaparthi. And I'll tell you, you can't imagine the joy on their faces when they listen that. It's really like, it's a very self-fulfilling thing for me also. So generally what we do is one boy just wakes him up and by the time he realizes, because he has to come out of his sleep.
Yeah, he'll be fast asleep.
Yeah, when he realizes that, because I'll tell you, it happens by the time we reach and we start our service, it'll be beyond 12.
Okay.
So it'll be
midnight.
We used to start around 10:30.
10:30 we start from Parthi. So by the time we reach.
Yeah, it would usually be something like in the Hindupur or Dharmavaram, which is 1.5 hours from Puttaparthi.
there will be like three people, mainly to, when you concentrate on one person, one boy will go and cover him with a blanket with a lot of love. One more alumnus will go and give a photo of Swami. Swami's photo he keep with you. And the other one, as I was mentioning, he'll go and put a nice dot of vibhuti on his forehead. And that was like, that cool feeling of vibhuti, the person just forgets himself and he becomes so joyful that, oh, Swami has given the blanket to me. That feeling is very difficult to describe also. And the beauty of this thing is that many times our own alumni who are doing this work, they also get so much inspired that, wow, I'm seeing Swami tells seva is special, seva is good. But when you see it happening, you understand the joy of giving, what it is. They say, oh, yes, when I go back to my place, I'll also do this. So it is actually something where both are benefited. The one who gives, the one who receives. Swami tells that only. Seva is that. Should be both way beneficial. And more to this giver, because he feels humbled. I'm not the one who's giving. It's Swami who's giving.
Okay, so how often you do this service activity in a year?
We generally go twice a year.
Twice a year.
Whenever we order for a batch of blankets, as I mentioned to you just now, we go in the nights to the nearby towns, like Prem was mentioning.
Yeah, you said you go in the winters, and again, any other month?
No, during winters only.
Immediately the week after Swami's birthday.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. November, December, yeah.
Generally, 108 blankets. But it's very difficult to find 108 people, honestly.
Yeah. Okay.
When we go out in the nights. I think one of the times when we went to one particular place, Hindupur, then we had a lot of blankets left still. Then we had to come to Dharmavaram and the other railway stations looking for people.
So same night?
Yeah, the same night. So by the time we come back, it would be 3:30, 4 in the morning. So I think now what they've started doing is, apart from that late night distribution, they go to a village, a little remote village, on one particular day and identify people, elderly people in the village, who might be, find the Swami's
blankets.
And we kind of identify them beforehand. And on another day, we take the blankets with a few other alumni and call them all, gather them at the temple in the village and distribute the blankets. So about twice a year.
Okay, so now what inspires you to do this? Like, has Swami himself acknowledged this blanket distribution?
As I recollect, I think around 4 or 5 years back, like after distribution, when we went and reported to Swami, Swami, we have done this. Swami was very happy that my boys are doing this. And that time, what he did was he told the people around him that you should order more of such blankets and do the same activity in the samitis, at least in Anandpur district.
Okay.
So in that year, as far as I remember, he ordered for around 10,000 blankets and sent it through our own sevadals to the local samitis and told them to follow the same procedure, identify the people in your villages and distribute to them. So in a way, like Swami also endorsed, Swami told, my boys are doing. So we were very happy when we heard that Swami is trying to emulate the same thing to others.
Yeah, okay. Now coming back again to this distribution activity, like you told, you wake the people and give them, make them realize that.
Thing, when we used to first go, we used to find it very odd. Because often Swami says, do service silently.
Yeah.
So it used to be a little contrary to that. We used to feel that we were waking up people in the middle of the night.
Unless you make them realize that you are given it. Otherwise, if they are still sleeping and you just put a blanket
on them, that's the learning curve.
Yeah.
I mean, they've been doing it for so many years. What they've realized is, when somebody's sleeping, you just put a blanket over them. It's good if they wake up and find the blanket and use it.
Otherwise somebody else may take it off.
So because we have encountered such things. There might have been occasions when after putting the blanket, you go a little further, come back, it might not be there.
Yeah, correct.
So, I mean, the idea is the people whom you're trying to benefit should have reaped the complete benefit of what you're doing.
In fact, that is
how this thing started. And when you're waking them up and giving the blanket, I think it's natural for us to say that it is Swami's prasad.
Yes, correct.
Because they have to, I mean, they shouldn't think that there's just some youngsters coming and doing, they should know the source. So, I think that's how it evolved, giving a photograph of Swami and then putting vibhuti.
In fact, Swami also says, like,
don't give money to people, like, see what they need and give what they need. Find out what they need and give what they need.
All Swami's projects are based on that, you know, because there are some things which people don't have access to.
Mm.
So that is what we have to try to give.
Yes.
And I think even this blanket distribution, that's what happens. You know, when you give them the blankets, one thing is waking them up and giving.
Mm.
The other means of making sure that they actually use it.
Yeah, correct.
Because
they may sell it out.
You remember, you had an experience, you were telling Prem, you remember that you went once 1 year and then...
Yeah, actually, you know, that's also a very nice thing because Bhargav used to order the blankets.
Mm.
The blanket quality used to be very good.
Mm.
You know, we used to make sure that it's a blanket which would last them. It shouldn't be
correct.
Like just a piece of rag.
Mm.
So one heartening thing was, I remember the year when I had gone, I was not very regular at the thing. Just a couple of times I had the opportunity to go. And one of those times when we went, the person whom we were giving a blanket to, actually what happened was, we went to Hindupur, I think. Hindupur, if I'm not wrong. After distributing, we had a few blankets left. So we thought, okay, well, driving back, we'll just go into Dharmavaram and see if anybody is near the railway station. So there, when we went, there was this person whom we gave the blanket, and he refused. He said, no, I don't want.
Mm.
And he showed the blanket which we had given the previous year.
Oh, okay. Wow, nice.
He said, it's still good and I'm using it. It was very nice, you know.
Mm.
I mean, you've taken so much trouble in making sure you're giving a good quality one, and you're seeing that it's of use. Even after 1 year, people are able to use it. And I think they used to make some arrangements so that to make sure the blankets are not sold again.
Yeah,
right?
that's also something.
So what boys used to do is they'll get the blankets, the whole bunch of it, and then before distribution, they will actually first dry them. They'll wash them and dry them.
Mm.
Because I don't know, if you've seen a blanket, that fresh blanket will have its specific smell.
Mm.
Like when it comes through the process and all.
Yes.
Mm. Once you wash it and then you dry it, that smell will go off. It becomes a normal blanket.
Mm.
And then on that, what they do is they put some stains of turmeric. They dip it in turmeric, sprinkle turmeric on it. And because
this is for what?
What happens is, it gives it the feel that it is not a new blanket.
Okay. Mm.
So, I don't know, there was a possibility that through our past experience, sometimes we have found it happening that some people, not all, very few, they sometimes in turn sell it back.
Okay. Mm.
So, to make sure that this doesn't happen.
They don't sell the blanket.
Blanket back to someone else.
Yeah, but they should
use it for themselves.
Yeah.
So, if you wash it, dry it and then put some turmeric or something on it.
So, you do it for all 108 blankets?
Yeah.
You wash it, dry it, okay.
It's not a... See, thing is, you don't have to... What you do is, you take a...
Okay, just dip it in water.
And dip it in water and then...
And then dry it.
Yeah, you can see a chain of blankets drying on one particular day, just before the day you do. You will see, people think, what is so many blankets are there? But that's what you do.
Okay.
You dry it and then after that... that's a little tedious process. You put, you take a lot of turmeric water and then sprinkle on that. But that makes sure that it goes to them and stays with them.
Yeah.
Doesn't go anywhere else again.
Correct.
Because like, Swami also tells that should be very careful when you use the resources. Mm. They should go to the proper person.
Yes.
That is the idea.
Okay, so this is one of the sacred service project which we have been doing. Can you please share with us some more service activities which Swami's students have been undertaking in and around Parthi?
Yeah, actually, Raghu, I mean, honestly speaking, Swami has given us the opportunity to be a part of these service activities.
Yes. Mm.
But there are some other senior students who have actually initiated these things and actually planned them out. We really hope one day we could have them and narrate some of these things.
As a representative, please
definitely.
Tell us.
I mean, we can share what we have had the opportunity to witness. But I think I should name some of them. Brother Raghunandan, he's actually a chartered accountant. He handles the accounts, audits the accounts of most of the trusts in the ashram, and Brother B. Srinivas and Brother Suresh. They are the three main people who coordinate these efforts in Prashanthi Nilayam, around Prashanthi Nilayam. Some of the regular things which they do is, of course, the medical camp. I think now medical camps, you know, almost in the past 4 or 5 years, every group which would come would set up a medical camp somewhere around in Parthi or in the villages around. And they used to have a medical camp set up and they used to give treatment free. Consultation, basically. But before that, I think on a regular basis...
I'm reminded when he's talking about medical camp, I don't know, Raghu, if you recollect, around 4 or 5 years back, there is a big like sort of epidemic of chikungunya and dengue fever. So, like, I was really surprised when I saw these senior brothers only, whom you mentioned. There are 2 or 3 medicines, homeopathy medicines, which are like a preventive measure for...
Yeah, I remember. In fact, even in hostel, they used to give this, I think.
Yeah, actually, I think it kind of got popularized from there. And it was found effective. People
not only that enthusiasm was infectious. Like, if you see them, you say, yeah, I should also do it. And you won't believe, like, there's all the 3 mandals. Puttaparthi, Bokapattinam, Kocharu. We used to go to at least all the nearby villages door to door, like how Swami tells Gram Sabha, you should go door to door and give. So we used to go door to door and distribute those pills.
How many people are there? Give them pills.
Sometimes they'll ask, like we have to convince them that this is for your good. You know, why should I am perfectly fine, I'm healthy, why should I have...
This is to prevent.
Yeah. You explain to them, mosquitoes are there, mosquitoes will create a problem, they will get these diseases. So to prevent that, you take this. And then you know what, homeopathy is a very sensitive medicine. I don't know if you know, you should not eat anything before that and after taking it also you should not eat. So explain all that to them. It's a very, like, the process is a lot of patience. And they used to just carry it out and we have been a part. I think, Frame, you remember, we used to go.
Yeah, I think even in Puttaparthi, literally to every doorstep, you know, you have these bylanes of Puttaparthi, which are very popular.
Especially Chitravati Road, My God, that hillock is there, Chitravati Road. It's like it's a labyrinth. You can keep going inside, you'll get so many houses. Every house used to go and give. Sometimes you get a lot of love from them. Boys are coming and doing all this to us. So that is again very touching for us.
In something like, I mean, that is in the medical front. I think even what the medical camp had evolved later, because after Swami's mobile hospital started, they found that, you know, there was no necessity for, we used to have a twice a year medical camp. But there was no necessity for that because Swami's medical, the mobile hospital was coming.
Yeah, in fact, I was just thinking about the mobile hospital only.
Yeah, actually, after that, what the old students have started doing is they're concentrating on veterinary camps.
Okay.
Because as you know, most of the villages around are agriculture based.
Yes.
So they would give them support in the form of veterinary camps.
And one more activity.
Job opportunities,
things once you did.
That is something.
And one more thing.
Okay, what is it? Job opportunity?
Like what you do is, we have some of our senior alumni who are in Hyderabad and other places. So they are part of this employment exchanges.
Okay.
So they know the requirement, the demand of the jobs. So what they do, they come down to a place like Puttaparthi, go to a village around, identify a village and make it a central point and go around canvassing about this particular job opportunities thing. It's like a job mela, they call it. All the youth from all around places, they come there and they are recruited on the spot. Like, if you are eligible for that.
All the youth from the villages.
Around villages.
Okay.
Who are...
Unemployed youth.
Unemployed youth.
Educated, slightly, at least.
Yeah. Just basic education. Education is required. I mean, it was just creating an opportunity where the people who have the jobs and these village people who might not... Otherwise,
creating
go out
awareness.
In search of the...
Creating awareness. Creating
not creating awareness, exactly.
Just creating a...
Bridging a gap between the demand and supply.
Okay. Mm.
And one more thing, as medical camps only, we started evolving this thing called tree plantations. When we go to the villages, we even try to educate them about the importance of trees. Because, especially, I don't know whether you know, Rayalaseema, this area, it's a very barren land. Presently, if you see, rainfall is deficient. So, if you have more trees, you'll have more greenery and it'll have more rains. And one more special thing which I learned after doing this is, there's a particular plant called Kanuga. I don't know what you call it in English, I'm not sure. The specialty of this plant is, when it's put in the soil, it absorbs the excess fluoride in the soil.
Okay, and fluoride.
If you know, I don't know whether you know, this particular area, this our belt of Rayalaseema, especially this Anandpur district, is... having very high fluoride content.
Yeah, in the water.
Water. So you have a lot of fluoride cases, fluorosis cases.
Yes.
People are having fluorosis problems. This is a fluorosis.
A lot of bone problems.
Bone deformities.
Skeletal deformation is called. This causes skeletal deformation. So to prevent that, there has been extensive program of planting these Kanuga. And then other than that, neem. Then you have people. And then you have banyan trees, all these things. We started doing it distributing in these medical camps.
Medical camp, we used to take these saplings also.
Okay.
And kind of offer it to them. Give them instructions and tell them that you have to take care of this. Just like
tell them how much deep you should dig the pit. How much
water. I think one of the scams we actually
used to do it.
We planted a lot of
we all used to plant it.
Used to plant it.
Make them sure that you please take care of it. And many times if you go to the same village after 3-4 years you see a good decent tree there.
So these trees reduce the fluoride content in that area.
I don't know how it really works, but you know, it's not just about the fluoride content, because we used to take a lot of these plants and kind of ask them, because it shouldn't happen that you plant a sapling there and it's not taken care of.
Yeah,
So some people would come and say, neem.
For this also, one more thing which our boys thought was, you should give a plant, not give a plant, because if you give a plant, you're not sure whether they'll make it, they'll plant it or not. So what they used to do is, you go and plant it around the house of that same person. If you have in the house, in the garden or in the front somewhere. So it's always easier to take care of it. If you put it on a road somewhere where this people will not access, someday they might forget to put water.
Yes.
And that plant is wasted. It will not survive. So generally they give these plants around the houses.
Okay. Now talking about the fluoride content. Yeah. So I also heard that you set up a fluoride plant, right? A structure. Which you constructed. Yeah, please tell about that.
Yeah, it's called Sai Premadhara.
Okay.
I think it was the initiative before the alumni meet in 2010.
Okay, that Swami said it was birthday.
It was birthday time. And we know about this village called Narsimpalli Tanda. It's a village around 10 kilometers from Parthi. And the fluoride content is around 5. The second highest in whole of Andhra. First is Nalgonda district, second comes Anandpur district, and this particular figures of 5 ppm of fluoride, parts per million, is the second. And if you go to the village, it's a very sorry state of affairs, because people who are above 40, they are not able to work, they have joint pains, there's a deformation in the skeletal system, and it's a very strange sight. If you go, you just outside the houses, right? The old people, they have hung a big log of wood. You catch that and walk. You can't walk otherwise. It's very, very difficult situation there. So we thought, is it possible to do something about it? So we found that there is a particular filter which works on the adsorption principle. It removes the fluoride and gives the clean water. And that, with the help of all the old students, alumni, they came together and set up this plant in this particular village of 70 houses. And it's functional. But there were a lot of challenges there also, because, you know, whenever Swami always tells that whatever you set up, they should be self-sufficient. They should not depend on you for anything. So it was a very difficult process, because for everything they'll call, sir, this is not happening. Sir, that is not happening. So it took a lot of time, and then we used to try to educate them, but they were not trying to listen to that immediately. So once what happened that, I don't know, it was again Swami's grace. There's a particular feeder motor. There's a motor which feeds water to this particular
I think you can plant. Just explain the structure. What is the thing you set up actually?
It's a column.
Okay.
It's a column of around 2 meters with something called as activated alumina. It's a very small granules there'll be. That whole column will be full of these granules. Water will be fed to the top and comes down. From down there is an outlet, it comes out. So when it goes through these tiny this granules of alumina, there's a procedure called as absorption. It removes the fluoride, the salts.
Okay.
The water which comes out is pure.
Pure.
It pure means it's the fluoride is in permissible limit. That is around 0.5 ppm. So from 4.5 to 0.5.
Okay, 4.5 to 0.5. Yeah.
I was talking about the feeder motor. There was a big repair in that. It was not working properly. And that particular day, we were not available. Somehow it happened that they were not able to contact us. So, I don't know what happened. They pooled money on their own. They hired a particular plumber, got him and got the thing corrected. And it worked, started working again. And then they realized that, yes, it's correct. Why should we go and approach them for everything? We can do it ourselves. And in that process, what they did, they pulled in one rupee each house. Actually, there's if there are 70 houses and each member, not 1 rupee, I think 100 rupees. If you pull 100 rupees, 70 houses, you get 7,000 rupees. So it was very easy for them to get this thing corrected. They realized that, yes, we can do it ourselves. Why should we depend on someone else? And from then on, it's going on smoothly.
Okay.
And this idea was a seed again for starting the coconut plantations.
Mm.
Coconut plantation, again, it's a very massive project and really a very beautiful service which they were doing. They order these special, they're called bondams. Bondams means those, you have these coconuts
which have started sprouting.
Just sprouting.
Mm. Okay.
They generally get it from the coastal districts of Andhra, like East Godavari, West Godavari. They're very special varieties.
Mm.
Within 2 years, you'll get a harvest.
Oh, mm.
So they get truckloads of these to Parthi, and then few of our alumni here have a little bit of land or something.
Mm.
So they rear it there, they grow it there.
Okay.
If you start planting this coconut shell or whatever it is today, after 1 year it will become a sapling of 5 or 10 inches.
Okay.
That is ready for planting.
Okay. Mm.
So you take that and then go to the villages and give it.
Oh.
That also was a very big, like a yagya, it was like you go all the three villages around and just all the three mandals around.
Yeah, because it was not just one day's work, you know.
Mm.
Order it and then take care of it.
Yeah.
Because they used to literally plant it. You have to have a plantation.
Yes.
And then again dig it out and then transport it to these villages.
So in the plantation area, it will be for 1 year. It will be planted for 1 year.
Planted for 1 year, take care of it for 1 year.
And then you take it to villages.
And one beautiful thing is, like, many times we just walk on the street of Futtuparthi, some villager will come and tap you and tell, sir, you remember you gave me 3 years back having nice coconuts. My children are drinking the coconut. I'm selling it. I'm getting a lot of money. It's so nice.
So the joy of gratification. Yeah.
And there's one more very difficult aspect of coconut plantation is that when you plant a coconut sapling, you have to have a particular around, say, 3 feet or something deep picked. And you should put a layer of salt in it, rock, hard salt. Because in this condition, generally it's a plant which grows in the coastal area. So if you want to plant it here, you should put the salt. Many times they will not be convinced, no sir, we can plant, why you want salt? So sometimes it has happened that to convince them, they will not listen. They used to themselves go to the shop, get a kilo of salt and put it and then do. But when they realized after 1 year, yes, some people have not put salt, it has not grown.
Yeah.
Some people have put salt, it has grown.
Mm.
So again, for them also it's a learning curve.
Yes.
They also learn when we do it properly. And no, recently you are going...
Just the act of giving saplings, no?
Mm.
I think it will give them the idea that tree plantation is important.
Yes.
Because if somebody is taking the trouble of getting so many hundreds and thousands of saplings and coming and giving... Because I think over a period of time, we've lost the importance of planting trees.
Mm.
So I think that itself, you know, for villages, for generations which come, they know the importance of it.
In fact, Swami himself has told, right, like Puttaparthi should be green and you should plant more and more trees.
Yeah. And then in this also, I recollect now that as you were mentioning, B. Srinivas and Raghunandan, they just had a small plan, just approach Swami and tell Swami, we want to do a project like this. And you know, Swami tells love and uncertainty.
Yes.
They were just thinking of a plan that we'll grow, make this green belt, grow some trees around in Parthi. So Swami told, do it from tomorrow.
Oh, immediately.
So they were like, out of the blue, Swami told like this, and you know, spontaneously. So they rushed to the nearby Yanvanpalli nursery and picked up. I asked him, okay, tell me what, they picked three saplings, only three saplings, so that Swami told you should do it tomorrow.
Let's start.
I asked him, what are the three saplings? He told, I don't know, I don't remember what are the three saplings. Swami told, we just have to follow it. So they took crowbar and a spade, went to the hill around. I don't know whether you know, there's a hill next to the shopping complex.
Okay.
It's called Yaddulakonda in the local parlance. Went there, identified three picks and planted it there. This was in 2005. So after 7 years of labor of love, I call it, there are around 10,000 plants there now. And it's a beautiful reserve forest.
Okay.
And again, I told, it's very infectious. So, it has, even the hostel, behind the Hanuman, that hill extends there also, behind Hanuman.
Actually, it's connected, you know.
The whole area is.
Hill behind Hanuman, if you go there, And if you just keep walking down and climbing up, you will come to this hill which is beside the shopping complex.
Okay. Mm.
So that area has been taken up by the current students, the second PG, the M.Tech boys.
Oh, the hostel boys.
Sometimes Pallav, yeah. The warden of the hostel, he used to come with them. Oh. Because it was...
So is it like a self-reliance program that is conducted in hostel?
It happens only once in a week on a Sunday.
Mm.
So on a Sunday...
Yeah, self-reliance program is a activity, regular hostel activity.
Yeah,
where boys...
Sunday,
yeah.
Boys kind of do some social service. But you know, what has to be appreciated in this is, like, these are all doing plantation on top of a small hillock.
Yeah.
So watering these plants is not at all an easy thing.
Yeah, it's not easy.
I think quite a bit of elaborate preparation was done just for watering this. What I'm trying to say is, like, it's... And Swami said, go and start it tomorrow. It is not just done and forgotten.
Yes.
No, I think that is what is has to be appreciated in the efforts of these three alumni whom we are talking about.
The pipeline, which provides water from the base tank to the whole hill, is around 4 kilometers long.
Okay.
And there are around 10 tanks.
Mm.
The one tank which is on the top of the hillock is 30,000 liters capacity.
Okay. Oh.
So it is like mind-boggling when you listen to all this. There's one of our ex-student's father. He's an ex-serviceman by name Mr. Negi. Negi sir, the first summer when it started happening, 2005, there was no provision of water like this. There was no pipelines laid. So he used to carry pots of water from down, carry it up all the way and plant the trees. But one beautiful thing about this, we call him lovingly Negi sir, he talks to the plants.
Oh.
Don't worry, I'll get water for you. You'll be all right. And he tells... Not he tells, I have seen it. They respond. Sometimes you see that, I was thinking, sir, ye hoga nahi. Sir, this will not survive because water is not there. By tomorrow it will dry up. So no, you give love to it, it will survive. And after 2-3 days if you go, it will be fine till it gets the water. In the initially thing.
So he treats the plants as his own children.
Our own children.
I think this is another challenge also which we had because the people in this area, they have the habit of burning vegetation which grows on hillocks.
Okay, okay.
Because that gives them, it gets charred and you get potash, basically. It's
okay.
A form and of one fertilizer. More thing is that here there's a plant called lemongrass. Once you burn it, because it gets dried in the lean season before the rains. If you burn it, after that when in the first rain comes, they come new and they come fresh. That is their idea. So yeah, that's also one very big challenge.
What used to happen is, they might light it somewhere, you know, few hills away. But because the whole area is so dry, the fire would spread so fast. And I think so many times it has come and burnt some of the saplings which were...
Okay.
After that, what they started, something called as, he calls it the firewall. They create a firewall. Means what they do is, they themselves go and remove all the plants, all the vegetation in a, let's say, a line of a meter or so. Which demarcates this place where the plantation is there and the place which is not there. Even by chance that fire comes, it stops there.
Okay,
because there is no more fuel for it to burn.
Okay.
So that's again a mammoth project. Go and burn, remove the whole thing along the length of the hill.
Yes. So many kilometers maybe.
I should tell, you know, when Bhargav was mentioning about when you give coconut trees and later people come and tell.
And
I remember you giving.
Mm.
I think Bhargav should tell about, you know, when... after he finished his studies, there was a time when a few boys used to go and take Balvikas classes, you know, in the villages around. That was a very, very nice thing. And in fact, in Prashantin, in Puttaparthi, you see a lot of these people who are doing, you know, having small professions, barbers and electricians, they were all Bhargav students.
Okay.
And not only, please don't tell that only electricians. There are people who have joined engineering.
Yeah, really. I'm just telling you, you know, the wide variety.
One of our Balvikas student is a MA economics student now in our own university.
Oh, correct. There was some MBA student. I remember sometime back there was an MBA student who, that was a different thing. There was another MBA student. I'm just telling the reach of Swami's work. There was an MBA student who joined us. I think he was in one of those villages which were serviced by Gram Seva. You know, from that kind of
one of the villages around Puttaparthi.
Around Puttaparthi.
Yeah. Nagendra Naik. I remember.
I mean, and I just wanted to recollect that because Bhargav and a few other alumni, they used to go to these villages every day. And they used to have Balvikas classes.
Yeah.
I think even now, those people know. I think there was a very interesting incident which happened, right? When Swami had called all those kids Swami wanted to give them something.
This we have this Jan 1st alumni meet.
Yeah, alumni meet, which is coming.
So in that, I think it is 2004 or something.
Okay.
That time, Swami told, I'll give clothes to all these Balukas students who are there.
These boys who were being taught by these two or three alumni.
Okay.
So like, he himself came and then personally distributed clothes to boys and girls both. There were around, if I'm not wrong, around 100 students.
I think they had done something like a Gram Seva or something.
Yeah, they did a Gram Seva.
The Balikas children themselves.
And not only that, there was a particular village where we, as he was mentioning, we go to medical camps. In this particular medical camp, these students performed a small skit to depict that what should be, like, good habits. What is cleanliness? What are the good habits? Why should we pray every day? All these things. So those things, like when they went and did it there, Swami was very happy about it. And then he personally came and distributed. And I remember recently, this is around 8 years back. So one of the students, he meets me now, tells, sir, those clothes which Swami distributed, they have become very small. But they're precious for me.
Yeah,
they'll always be with me. Because Swami has given his own hands.
Yes, correct.
Yeah, actually, one more thing, because the old students had for so many years done all these medical camps and all, they actually had a very good idea of the demography of the whole place. They knew the villages, they knew, and that was very helpful in the later years when Gram Seva started. Gram Seva. I think many of the maps which the students used later were actually done by the old students during their camps. I mean, they had a lot of help from them because these people had surveyed, and even later when many Swami's devotees would come and would want to do any seva, I think a lot of times the old students had helped them in identifying villages, because it's very easy to go to nearby villages which are accessible by road and do some help for them, but the old students would identify villages which are very cut off, which not everybody would, have a knowledge of. So that was also one of the things which they had done.
Yeah, just talking about this plantation. Yeah, I remember that it seemed Swami, once when he was going for a drive in his car, saw that the roads flowered.
As you were mentioning about tree plantation. The tree plantation is done not only on the hill which I mentioned in the Kokhan plantations.
Okay.
Other than that, the roads which approach to Parthi from the back side and the front, all the roads which are there, which are approaching Parthi from, say, from Dhanvaram side or from back
Bangalore
side, Kadri
side,
Bangalore side. So those roads also, on either sides, the saplings have been put, like, especially trees which give shade, the shade-giving trees, like, you have a big tree like neem or peepal or anything like Gulmohar. One more is Gulmohar, I remember. So it's a very big task to water all these plants. It's humanly not possible. You have to hire a tractor or something. But our alumni in Puttaparthi, they have an ox called Saishwar. And it's like very dedicated in its service. If you go and see it also, it's like very sattvic ox.
An ox.
It's yoked to the bullock cart and there's a tanker and it just goes around and there's a particular cartman who waters the whole area. So once it happened that, if you know, there's a gate behind the ashram. It's called the Kalvad Gate or the West Gate. Behind that it was watering the plants which were being planted there.
Okay.
So that particular time when it was around evening time sometime, suddenly there was a heavy downpour. And because it was standard, it was doing its work, it was there on the road and it was there only. So at this particular moment, Swami sometimes used to go around in his car on a long drive. So he used to come back from the behind gate. So when Swami came back, he saw that this Saishwar is there with the cartman and doing this work. He was very happy. He lowered the window, called the cartman. I remember that his name is Gangulappa, that cartman, called him. Took a handful of chocolates and told give it to the bullock.
Box.
Doing a lot of nice service. So again, it was also blessed.
Yeah, nice.
Not only that, I think Bhishan was recollecting, I remember he was telling me that a couple of years back, 3-4 years back, Swami mentioned about this that to the VIPs in the portico, you know, my boys, I have sent them for planting trees around Patti. They are doing a nice work. So he recognized. So that is the biggest fulfillment for us, that Swami recognized our service. That we all pray that Swami yes. accepts that, yeah, we yes, have what you have done, I have accepted it. And when that happens, like, it's really a big joy to do that work. A
lot of satisfaction.
Satisfaction.
In fact, that planting plants and trees on the roadside, it started when Swami himself told, right? Swami was going on a drive once and...
That is about the flowering plants.
Yeah, please tell about that a little bit.
When you approach Puttaparthi from the railway station, the Bangalore side or something.
Okay.
They've recently laid a big road. Recently means 4-5 years back. They made a 4-lane road. In between there's a divider. And Swami used to go around for his, used to go around for drives. He used to see the divider is barren. Nothing is there.
Okay.
So he has mentioned it not once, twice it seems. It will be nice if put some soil on it and put some plants. It'd be
some
so nice
flowering
to see.
Plants or something.
So this was mentioned to our alumni here, and they sprang into action, and then it's called, I think in Telugu it's called Ganneru. It's a beautiful pink flower. The whole divider, they got a lot of soil on it, put a lot of soil, and then planted this. And if you, I don't know, if you just go around, you just see, if you just go out of Parthi or come inside, you'll see all, they'll be always in full bloom. And nice sweet smelling flowers also. And those were around again 9,000 flowers, 9,000 plants, which was done. And watering, as I mentioned, by Saishwar.
Okay, Saishwar the ox. Okay, so we had a very nice session for almost 1 hour. And dear listeners, you would have come to know the various service activities done by the Swami students in and around Puttaparthi.
I think before we end, just one last thing. I remember, you know, during one of Swami's birthdays, when different groups make cakes for Swami and offer it to Swami, you know. There'll be the hospital group, there'll be the university group, senior boys, junior boys. So I think even old students had a cake.
Okay.
I remember very clearly, you know, when Swami came to the cake, Swami asked, whose cake is it? So then the boys said, Swami, old students. And very clearly Swami said, what is this old students? And Swami told Telugu, Naku Pata Pillalu, Kotta Pillalu Em Ledu. There's no old students, new students. Swami, all are students.
Okay.
I think that is the binding spirit. And that is why even the alumni group, the alumni body, we are not called old students or alumni of Sri Satyasai. They are called Sri Satyasai students. And actually, if you look at how the people who are actually running the whole show in Puttaparthi, I just named three of those old students. If three students could do so much,
yes.
And there's not much you can do in Puttaparthi because almost everything you can do, Swami has already done.
Yes,
and I think Swami has just left little so that we also can pitch in and we also can contribute. It's really amazing how much they've done.
In fact, dear listeners, what Bhargav and Prem shared with us are just snippets of the service activities that these old students have been doing. Sometimes in future, we'll have the senior students who are really into these service activities, right, Prem?
Yeah, definitely. I think we should, and we pray to Swami that someday we will have them and we would have them narrating some of these things.
Okay. Okay, thank you, Prem and Bhargav, for coming here and speaking to us. In fact, dear listeners, you may be aware of Prem. He and Arvind will be hosting today's afternoon session. Okay, just before leaving, I would like to ask Bhargav one of his favorite songs that he would like to tell.
I just go back to the blanket distribution experience.
Okay.
And we're coming back after distribution. One of our boys was singing, Dine Dukhiyon Se Prem Karo, Mera Sahi Pasand Hoga. So that is like a leitmotiv for us.
Yeah.
The whole. So
in fact, Dine Dukhiyon Se Prem Karo, Mera Sahi Pasand Hoga. That means that if you love the poor and needy, your Swami will be happy. Okay, dear listeners, coming up next is a.
You are listening to Radio Sai Global Harmony. Radio Sai brings to you every day the teachings and the universal message of love of Bhagavan Shri Satya Sai Baba.
Din dukhiyon se prem karo mera sai prasand hoga. Din दीन दुखियों से प्रेम करो मेरा साई प्रसन्न होगा
listening to Radio Sai Global Harmony, bringing you the message of Bhagwan Sri Satya Sai Baba. SSC On Air is our weekly radio series in which we bring you interesting, inspiring and enjoyable radio classes on Satya Sai education in human values. Each lesson plan incorporates all the teaching techniques prescribed by Bhagwan Baba.
Sai Ram children.
Sai Ram teacher.
Teacher, please tell us what is in your hand. What is it?
Oh, it's a surprise for you for today's class. You will know in a moment.
Teacher, it is a letter H. It is a flashcard of letter H. Big H and small H.
But teacher, why did you give us the letter H? We shall discuss about it soon. Now let us make the sound of the letter H. Lovely. H seems to be happy letter. All of you are laughing. Ha ha ha. And do you know, our Baba loves happy smiling children. So, always be happy. Now, it's time for the class to begin.
When you're happy and you know it, clap your hands. When you're happy and you know it, clap your hands.
SSC On Air is our weekly radio series in which we bring you interesting, inspiring and enjoyable radio classes on Satya Sai education in human values. Each lesson plan incorporates all the teaching techniques prescribed by Bhagwan Baba. You can listen to SSC On Air on Asia Stream of Radio Sai every Sunday at 7:30 p.m. To know more about the timings of this weekly series, SSC On Air, on other streams of Radio Sai, please go to the schedule page of our website radiosai.org. You can download and listen at leisure by visiting the link radiosai.org/SSE. That is radiosai.org/SSE. Thank you and happy listening. Sai Ram.
Om Shri Sai Ram. Dear listeners, this is Radio Sai Global Harmony's Asia Stream, bring you the message of Bhagwan Shri Satya Sai Baba. Welcome to Thursday Live. This is the segment Service, Love in Action, wherein we bring you Swami's love and our love for Swami, translating into service to humanity.
Sai Ram, dear listeners, welcome once again to today's Thursday Live. I am Raghu from Team Radio Sai, hosting the segment Service, Love in Action. And today in this segment, I am talking about the various service activities that the alumni of Bhagwan's University are undertaking in and around Puttaparthi. Until now, dear listeners, you heard to Prem and Bhargav, two alumni of Bhagwan's University, describing and highlighting the various service activities that Swami students have carrying out in Parthi. Well, dear listeners, you would have noticed that a lot of service activities have been initiated by Bhagwan students, right? The blanket distributions to the poor, the medical camps, Bal Vikas classes, tree plantation in the hills and villages around Parthi, and many more. Now, dear listeners, this tree plantation in the hills around Prashanthi Nilayam is something unique and different type of service activity. So today, to talk more on this tree plantation, I am pleased to have with me right now my colleague Jagannath Rao, sir. Sai Ram, sir.
Sai Ram.
Yes, sir. Thank you for joining me today in this segment. In fact, last Thursday also you joined me and we discussed about the drinking water project that the Sai youth from Visakhapatnam are undertaking in Andhra Pradesh.
In Anantagiri Hills.
Yeah, in the Anantagiri Hills. Yes, and they have provided safe drinking water to about 50 remote villages, right?
Right.
Yes, 50 remote villages. Okay, so now this tree plantation, since you are very closely involved with this sacred activity, the tree plantation in the hills around Prashanthi Nilayam, I want you to talk more about this. So let's begin. Please tell us, sir, when this tree plantation started and how it's happening, what's happening?
As a matter of fact, as in the earlier program, where Swami students, Bhargav and,
Bhargav and Prem,
they gave a brief account of what was this plantation program. Yes. As a matter of fact, it was in the year 2006.
Okay.
To be precise, on 25th May 2006, that the Summer Sanitation Seva, a group of Sevadal workers who were here, they are brought from different parts of the state, and they have initiated this project of planting trees in the mountain, in the hillock near the Prashant Ashram, as Bhargava has said, that is called Eddulakonda.
Yes.
The bullock hill. Eddula means bullock.
Okay.
Konda is hill. Eddulakonda. I don't know how this name came. Maybe that the shape of the mountain, maybe looking like a bullock. But now, with the passing of time, particularly last 5 years or so, it has developed so much of greenery, green cover. Now, that shape, unless you look from top, some 8th floor building or so, you can't make out. But then, that is Eddulakonda. It started there, and they planted almost 500 plants during that month of May.
The devotees from Summer's Sanitation Seva Group.
Okay. Seva Group. And there were 13 number, and it was done as an initial project, and then because it was May, the earth was hard.
Yeah, summer season.
And, more so in the hillock. Therefore, they could not dig proper pits to plant the trees. But then the job was to complete to plant 500 plants, and then our Negi sir, whom again we got...
Yeah, Bhargava had mentioned about it.
Yes.
About him.
And he was one of the persons there. And then it was so attractive to him. As a matter of fact, he is a retired army personnel. Yes. Therefore, for the discipline and the dedication to work is as expected from defense personnel he has there. Therefore, he took up. And he, again, it is a repetition that he was carrying water to these plants and then he was watering them. And it continued.
So initially, water supply was some problem.
Water supply, because it, when it was started, water storage tanks or pipes, they were not there. Not, they were not
the
visualized.
Water had to be carried from downhill.
From downhill, and he was going up, and maybe he was doing one or two rounds. And then again, the, as a hill should be, it was undulated, and then there was no track to reach the places naturally. And over a period of time, as yesterday when I visited there, now a small footpath has been developed. And my friend who was with me, Van Murali, he was saying that it is because of Negi only that that particular track has been developed, because he was going and coming down so many times.
Okay.
And then now, they, that was the way. Then, in this continued almost for 1 year. He was watering the plants, and then out of 500 or so, half of them could survive the heat and then other rigors. But then, once rain came, therefore they could stand on themselves, they could have that foothold, the roots could go down. In the process, in the, as time passed, a 10,000 liter tank was constructed at the foot of the hill.
Okay.
And a 2-horsepower submersible motor was placed there to pump water. Mm-hmm. But then pumping water is done. But then how to take it to the top or to the plants? Therefore, the pipelines were
has to be laid.
And those pipelines work was started. And
in fact, Bhargava was mentioning about 4 kilometers of pipelines were laid, it seems.
As 4 kilometers of pipelines. And with every passing day or with every passing month, they are adding more and more length of pipelines. Mm. Now, 60 gate valves are there. Gate valves means when pipe water is carried, you can divert the water to 2 to 3 directions with gate valves.
Okay.
And 60 gate valves are there, and the 10,000 liter tank is at the base of the hill, and as already mentioned in the Adler program, 30,000 liter tank is at the top of the hill.
Top hill, okay.
Therefore, this water is pumped and stored in the top so that the water can come by gravitation also to different areas. Mm. And the area itself is about 250 acres of area which they are covering. Therefore, this water was, initially it was by manually it was carried.
Yes.
Now it was carried through pipes, and then the pipe network is also going on increasing. They want to have more of gate walls now from 60.
There were many more tanks, right, sir, in between?
The first one is at the base, that is 10,000 liters.
Yes.
The top one is 30,000 liters. In between, there are about 10 tanks holding 500 liters, which are for specific areas.
Mm.
From there, they distribute to different plants. And out of the 10, yesterday only I went and saw the whole area, one tank is not in use, 9 tanks are in use, and the water is going on to different plants.
Mm.
And you may ask, now that the area is about 250 acres, how much of water is given to each plant, and as how when the turn of each plant comes? Naturally, because now, over last 5 years, 2007 to 2012, so many plants have been planted by students, and again, by natural source, because by wind, by birds.
Yeah.
And again, they go on putting manure at the root of the plants. And manure also contains some seeds. Thereby,
so many new plants would have come.
New plants which they have not planted.
Yeah.
And you will be surprised to see one particular plant called Subabul.
Hmm.
Subabul, it doesn't need any water.
Okay.
But then it grows very fast. And it has a beautiful green coverage.
Oh.
And once it grows fast and it covers. Therefore, now when you look at the hill, it is almost 80% is having green cover. Nice green cover. And there are sandalwood trees also, which they have not planted. It's by natural sources.
Yes.
They have come. Therefore, once you take one step, Swami is taking another 10 steps to take care of the whole program. That's wonderful.
And sir, you had mentioned that once in 25 days, each plant is planted, right? So how it is maintained, is anything...
Yes. Now, for initially when the plant was small, the trough where the water-carrying area of the plant was small.
Okay.
Now, in the maintenance process, now they are increasing the quantity of water to hold.
Okay, around the stem.
Around the stem. So
the
that
water will be stored in that.
Water is stored. That is called a trough. Irrigation trough, you can call it. They pour it there because there are, besides Nagisar, two more are working there. Therefore, with three, the whole area is to be covered. But then, with the 24 to 25 days, the turn of each plant comes. But then the plants are going nicely. And in between nature, God also helps in pouring continuous water in the form of rains.
Yes.
Therefore, they take care, particularly during rainy months. They need not go take so much of trouble to water the plants.
Now, this is a mammoth project covering 250 acres of land. Now, there may be many challenges that you face, the Negi sir would be facing.
Yes.
And, please tell about that.
He was describing from the very beginning. Probably, even at the time of plantation also, you see, it is not easy to plant trees in a hill. Because this is, one is undulated area, a rocky area. And secondly, this is
Rayalaseema, as it is called.
Rayalaseema means
stones. Yes.
Rayalaseema means the area of stones, the region of stones. And then you have scorpions, you have centipedes, you have
snakes, poison snakes.
But then, again, yesterday it only, Nagisar was telling, there are occasions when he was taking out and throwing weeds, collecting weeds to a particular place. There are occasions when he was taken a snake by his hand and just pulled it there as if it is a part of that rubbish. Nothing happened. And when you lift a stone, lift a rock to find some place to plant the tree, there may be scorpions.
Yeah.
They walk away. That is the way Swami is helping. And then, this was initial stages of planting. Now, as the plantation is already grown, there are many, many challenges. You will be surprised. First and foremost is fires.
Fire is
the most dangerous challenge. And everybody needs to be very, very alert.
It spreads very fast.
Particularly during dry season. Because trees are there. Grass grow fast, and the grass, once it is dried, then it catches fire like anything.
Yes.
Then, now, during rainy months, no problem. When the dry season starts, their main duty is both watering the plants and taking out the weed.
So, who puts this fire, sir?
Actually, maybe there are many reasons.
Okay.
Just casually somebody is going and lighting a cigarette and throwing the lighted matchstick. That is enough.
Yes.
If he is careless, one. But then, there are places you may be knowing, there is a cultivation called jhum cultivation. And are in this part of the country, they may call it some other name. But the point is, they burn the land so that with the first rains, green...
They means the local villages.
Local villages. Yeah. Tender grass comes up. That is very good for their cattle. That may
the
be
fresh the, grass comes.
Fresh grass. And there are cases where they want to plow the land. Plowing is rare in these areas.
For agriculture.
But then, for agriculture. It is rare in these areas. But then, for tender grass to come, they do it. But then, it is not, once they do it for an area, it can't be limited because the whole area is dry and it can reach any length.
Yes.
And then, if it is, there are heavy winds, it can reach any distances.
So, what precautions are being taken?
Immediate precautions are, now, when I went yesterday, the two persons who are working with Nagisar, they are just removing grass and removing grass and collecting that at place and then under proper guidance and supervision with information to security and all of the places, that grass is burnt. at one place, so that that dry grass is not there. But then covering, as you are saying, 250 acres is not a joke. Yes. But then they are doing it. And occasionally, when Sevadal comes, their help is also taken, so that those areas are made clean and protected from fire. Mm-hmm. And in addition also, you see, our plantation already reached the end of the boundary of ashram.
Okay.
In town, in the hill areas. Therefore, other side, they are keeping a distance of about 15 to 20 feet of clean area without dry grass, so that by chance, if anybody throws a lighted matchstick or something there, it won't immediately spread.
Yes,
it will take time. That's why they are protecting. And as you say, how precaution about fire is one thing. There are many more things. Because human interference.
Yes, sir.
Because when they are finding that the trees are growing so fast, and those who are in need of firewood, they come and they take it
out. You mentioned about the sandalwood also.
Sandalwood. And there were probably a case which he was narrating.
He will not like to take it.
He was narrating one huge, full-grown tree was cut. And nowadays, it is not axe by which they cut it. Now, that saw is coming.
Yeah.
Machine saws are coming. They don't make any noise even while cutting.
Okay.
Therefore, even though you are very careful, security is very careful, it is very difficult to identify where it is working, where it is being done. By that time, the damage is done. But fortunately, again, Swami's grace, those instances are very few and far between. And even earlier, the goats were being sent into
the told about the wild trees. Boars pests.
Wild boars, they are fond of a particular tree where the sap is sweet and white.
Okay.
White sap comes out. And those trees, they uproot and they eat.
Oh. Okay.
Therefore, for them, they are putting a strong fence so that they can't reach the plant. And
for each tree or as many trees as possible?
No, there are certain type of trees which give out this sweet sap. They are interested in that, in such trees. And there is one bug. Bug, which has a sharp teeth like saw, and they, in the tree bark, they make a circular, a circle around that, and they take this sap. But once they remove this bark, the upper portion is separated from the lower portion, and the nutrient can't go up.
Yes.
Therefore, the tree dies a natural death.
Yes.
But then, fortunately again, such happenings are rare. He wanted to show me that bug, but I could not find it yesterday when we visited the whole area. Therefore, these things are taken care. And now, one more very important thing is, during the last 1 year, there is this giri pradakshana, circumambulation of this hillock, this Edilakonda. Swami's devotees. As a pious act, it is being taken. Now, you may be aware that these things are in Kailash Parvat in Himalayas. They do pradakshina. Almost it is 80 kilometers of pradakshina. It takes 3 days. Similarly, in what you call Ramana Maharshi Ashram. Annava? There also they do it. Similarly, here also, the 10 kilometers pradakshina is being done. It takes almost, it starts around 6:30 and ends at 9:30 or so. Therefore, once it is attained that sacredity, I hope people will give due respect to the hill and allow the hill to become green and flowery with birds, with all animals developing there. And again, I wish that the development in this hill is so beautiful, the devotees who want to come to Puttaparthi, they can include the visit to this Idlakonda or Bullock hill in their itinerary and have a look at it.
Yes.
The amount of work done, the amount of the dedication with which they are doing, they will really enjoy it.
Now, what are the future plans, sir?
Future plans means now, as I was telling you, the plantation has almost reached the boundary of ashram in the hill. And again, a person interested in this forestry, I just to know a bit about it. When the hill is denuded, The top soil gets washed out. Therefore, to grow trees at the top of the hill is very difficult, because top soil which is fertile is available at a lower level, and all this lower level, foothills and middle hill, is already covered. Top, now efforts are being made to make some trees to grow there. That is being done. One. Second is important, as I already discussed, to protect the already grown trees and to ensure that more and more water is available to each tree, and that too not in 24 days, if it is more frequently, so that they will grow faster and help in rejuvenating the water table in Puttaparthi. And I can tell you, this will be an interesting subject for hydrologists, because 5 years back, when there was no trees, probably the condition of water level in Puttaparthi, and now that almost 80% of the hillock is covered with trees, the water seeping into the earth is more. Therefore, even you because as a descendant of Puttaparthi, you are also aware, earlier 5 years or 6 years back, there was a big drought, yes, and water scarcity was there. Now, maybe for any reason, even though the growth of construction has covered the whole Puttaparthi, because you find 8-story buildings, number of such buildings, but then water scarcity is not there, still available, even though erratic monsoon, because this year particularly, you are not having correct monsoons also, still. Therefore, I think with this growth of vegetation in the tree hill, the water level has increased. What more you want? And this is for not for ashram, it is for the whole people of the area. Is it not? Therefore, this should be encouraged, the hill should be protected, more and more effort should be made to grow more trees wherever possible, so that that will be idea. And that is, again, when I was listening to Prem and Bhargav speak, he wanted green. Swami wanted green Puttaparthi, and this is an excellent step. Yes. Is it not?
Okay, sir, before concluding, I am curious to know about Negi, sir. In fact, I also met him many times. He is a very loving person. He is a very elderly person too, about 70, right?
I tell you, when I meet Negi, I forget my age. I am also 65, okay, and he is 70, and he is much more youthful, much more energetic, right, and I feel his energy should, it is spreading. It should spread to all. And
he
then
used to carry pots of water downhill,
yes,
from downhill to uphill, right?
That's why, because he retired from army in 1996, okay, and he has he's a student of Swami, as a father of Swami student,
yes,
and then he loves the plants like his own children.
When, yeah, Bhargava was mentioning, he treats plants as his own,
yes,
children.
Not only that, last time when I visited along with him,
okay,
we were coming down. And then, sir, Rao, sir, please give love to this particular tree, because he is expecting it, as if the tree is talking to him, and he made me to embrace a tree,
okay,
and he says, this is where the trees grow, they too need our love.
Yeah.
Therefore, he feels that the trees are living beings with affection extended by humans. They grow. When
they grow more faster.
They grow
healthier.
More faster, more healthier. And more vibrant.
Yes.
That is. Yeah.
Okay, sir. Thank you for joining me in this segment and talking about this tree plantation which is happening in the hills around Puttaparthi.
Yes. Yeah. And I too enjoyed, because whenever you ask me about this tree plantation, I feel so enthused to talk about it, because it should spread. It should spread to the youth. It should spread to the whole people who are listening it.
Okay, sir, before concluding, please tell us one of your favorite bhajan which I can play for our listeners.
Okay. As a matter of fact, I'm not a singer at all, but I'm only a listener to enjoy. I enjoy one bhajan, this Ramachandra Prabhu Raghuvamsha Rama. Huh?
Bhajan on Lord Rama.
Oh, okay, Lord Rama.
Okay, dear listeners, on a special request from our guest, Jagannath Rao, sir, my colleague, I will play for you a bhajan, and it's time in our studio is 12:30, and Prem and Arvind are here in the studio for taking up the next segment of today's Thursday Life, that is afternoon satsang. So it's time for me to sign off. So with this bhajan on Lord Rama and placing this segment at the lotus feet of our beloved Bhagwan, I and Yathas, the sound engineer, sign off for today. Jai Sai Ram.
Dear listeners, your feedback is valuable to us in order to improve our programs. Please write to us with your suggestions and comments. You can email them to listener@radiosai.org.
Ramachandra Prabhu Raghuvansh Rama. Ramachandra Prabhu Raghuvansh Rama. Sitapate Jaya Janaki Rama. Sitapate Jaya Janaki Rama. Ahalyotarak Subhuna Virama. Ahalyotarak Subhuna Virama. Ravana Samharako Dandarama. Sitapate Jaya Janaki Rama. Ramachandra Prabhu Raghuvansh Rama. Sitapate Jaya Janaki Rama. Avalyotarak Subhuna Virama. Ravana Samharako Dandarama. Sitapate Jaya Janaki Rama.